Jason, quick question.
You are one of one.
Three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year.
Help me understand a little bit more clearly what you're asking.
Did you ever hear it called Don't Go Jason Waterfalls?
Is this Matt Hamilton?
So I kind of just thought of this question on the spot. So it needs to be workshopped a little. I'm not going to lie.
The famous Matt.
Jason Wilde is on Jim, Matt, and Molly.
Oh, snap! What's up with that? What's up with that?
And it is probably to Jason Wilde's joy. It is the last Jason Wilde appearance without Molly from Jim, Matt, and Molly. Because Molly Brown returns next Tuesday, which means the star of the show is back, Matt Hamilton. And we are welcome to bring in Jason Wilde into the show. Jason, we're live at Liberty Station here in Madison. Thanks for taking the time to join us on a Friday.
I'm having a great day. I talked to Gravatt, who is filling in for Walter Lukaczynski on the Dam Sports Show in Beaver Dam. Now I get to talk to you. I got to talk to Chrissy, who is incredible. She's the most enthusiastic producer of anyone that ever calls me. Like, she could not have been more enthusiastic. It's a stark departure from, and I won't name anybody by name, but it's a stark departure from what I usually get. Hey,
I'm going to be honest. I'm sitting next to a very unenthused Ryan Wollersheim right now.
Primetime Wollersheim.
Yeah,
our on-site producer can't figure out to get his mic on here.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Well, I'm just saying he was pretty unenthused looking when you said that. About as unenthused as I was when Jim said the star of the show is coming back next week.
Look, man, that's just how it goes.
The star.
Yeah. So, quick, that's his college enthusiasm there, Jason. You know, Chrissy's, this is all new and exciting to her. It's fantastic. It's a good energy to the show.
Before we get into anything, and I'm kind of the opposite of Chrissy at this point, right? I'm the grumpy old man, right? Like Jack Lemmon is going to play me in my next movie if he wasn't dead. But, so the Packers do their usual Friday ticket price news dump.
Yeah. Speaking of news dump, Jason Wilde just got dumped.
Oh, one sec. I'm going to try and get it back on.
That's Mark Murphy.
Thanks.
Right there. Mark it down. Mark Murphy trying to silence Jason Wilde, bringing up some bad news about the Packers raising their prices for the tickets. Conspiracies everywhere. While we have a minute here, since we are at Liberty Station, there is a couple here. They were here a minute ago. They're all, it looks like they have a wedding party.
Yeah.
And you're Matt Hamilton. So, like, do you go, like, hey, I'm Matt Hamilton. Do you want a picture with a gold medalist?
No, because wedding parties, especially even my own wedding, I realized I was not the star of
true.
That one.
But I believe
the star of this show. I don't need to try and Bogart my way into a wedding party and be the star of their wedding.
I'm guessing this is the rehearsal, but she wasn't a wedding dress, so maybe not.
Yeah, I think there's just pictures, probably.
Okay, I mean, my wife and I got married on a Friday, so you get married on a Friday, and so like maybe they came here for the dinner afterward. I don't know. But also, I saw the groom, I believe, came over here and got some Love Volleyball posters and stuff.
Yep.
I could have offered my services, like, hey, if you're not married, save some money. I'll just do this for free. I'm an ordained minister. We'll just do this right here in the back here at Liberty Station.
Yeah.
I've married a handful of people.
I mean, there's a great space back there where I think they were at. Bold move, getting barbecue in your white wedding dress. Like, I would have dropped a rib on my lap for
sure.
Well,
good thing you're not wearing a white wedding dress. Or maybe you did. I don't know.
Well, I mean, I wanted the white suit
Dennis Rodman
to match
style?
My wife's white dress. But
yeah, you can't
do
that. Because that would be showing her up.
Would it? Her dress is still going
to
look better.
I know, but you're then in a white, like, you're drawing the attention to yourself. Like, could there be a more Matt Hamilton thing of, like, oh, honey, you're going
to
wear white?
To be fair,
let me wear white too.
This was before the Olympics, and I just ditched the coat. I did a white shirt and pants, so I was close enough to wearing my white on the wedding. But, a great choice for a wedding rehearsal party or something like that, but the white dress, eating barbecue, dangerous game. You're playing with fire there.
You're playing with barbecue.
You're playing with barbecue.
Do we have, Chrissy, do we have Jason Wilde back yet? I'm going to take that as a no. So we will try to get Jason Wilde back on when we can here. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly. We are presented by Coors. Oh, with Coors Light. Do we have, I'm sorry, do we have Jason?
We got Jason back.
All right, Jason. I'm guessing
Mark
that
Murphy,
Mark Murphy. Yes.
Mark Murphy passed my phone.
Yeah.
So
he can't even figure out his own phone, Jason. I doubt he figured yours out.
Jeez. I need some help because I don't think I'm an unreasonable person. But I just got done going through the Packers, and it took me quite a while. I did a lot of Googling. But I just got done going through the Packers ticket history, going back to 2005, when ticket prices went up $4 per ticket throughout the Stadium Bowl. Now, I'm not an economist. I don't know a lot about inflation. I know we're getting to the point now where we're not buying eggs as often as we had before. But
yeah.
The seats between the 20-yard lines in 2020 in 2005 were $67, and the seats between the 20-yard lines in 2025 are $196. Now, again, I'm not, like, maybe that's normal, right? Like, again, I'm not, I don't claim to understand inflation. I don't know what the $2,005 compared to $2,025 look like. But I do know this. The Green Bay Packers have raised their season ticket prices every year since 2010, with the exception of 2021, when they remained flat after a global pandemic. But every year they have raised their ticket prices otherwise in those, what is that, 15 seasons? This will be the 16th season. They raised ticket prices in 05, then they went 6, 7, 8, and 9 without raising prices. They went 4 years without increasing their ticket prices, which to me seems like a pretty cool thing to do, right? Being unreasonable because I don't pay for tickets? Because my family, my grandparents got tickets to the State Fair Park games in West Dallas in the 1940s. And my brother, unless he sold all of his tickets and is having them revoked, took the family tickets because I obviously had no use for them. I'm curious, am I being unreasonable to think that you could take a year off from increasing prices? Like, Bob Harlan used to try and do it every other year at most. And this has been now 15 of the last 16 seasons.
I don't think you're being unreasonable. I mean, at least the Packers win. Chicago bumped up their prices. Now, they did say we're going to spend some money on free agency in their press release on it. But, like, yeah, there's definitely a 'cause we can, we will aspect to it. But Matt, you had an interesting take when you saw that the Packers were middle of the road as far as ticket prices. You thought because of the smallest market, they should have lower ticket prices.
Yeah,
yeah, I agree with that.
A team with this being the smallest market team in the NFL would have somewhere near the bottom for lowest ticket prices. Jason, I did a calculation according to Google as well. That $68 ticket in 2005, if it followed the inflation trend, should only be about $115 right now. So they jumped it up a little bit.
Wow.
For inflation. Yeah.
Yeah, and I always love that argument, by the way. Oh, well, we're right in the middle. That's what we aim for. Well, great, but so because everybody else in the league is also raising their ticket prices, it's a racket, isn't it? Like, hey, we're all going to raise prices about the same, and then everybody stays in the same spot, but we all can still raise the ticket prices. Like, maybe I'm just being, you know, the common man guy and saying, but like, if you're a normal family, like take us for example, okay? Now Paula and the girls, the girls have never been to a Packers game. They have been to family night and they got to see the fireworks. It's, you know, in fairness to them, like they, you know, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings on the panel, but like, they root for the season to end so dad has more time to go to gymnastics and basketball and pole vaulting practice and everything else. So they're not, they don't really, they're not live and die with the team fans, right? But
yeah.
let's say that Paula and the girls wanted to go to a game. So that, and I wasn't covering it. I was paying for the tickets, and I was going to have a ticket myself. So for a regular season game in end zone seats, which we can agree are the crappiest, right? Because you could end up having all the action at the other end of the field. That's $146 per ticket times four tickets. Now, again, maybe if you're a diehard fan, you don't care about that, right? Because it's worth every penny, just along with how much you spend for your jersey and your beer and whatever else. But unless my math is wrong, that is $584 for a family of four for just tickets in the worst spot. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
But if I'm not saying this, there's plenty of people that can afford it. I get it. I am very happy with my salary. Let me be very clear on that. But I am not rich. I am definitely not rich. And if now I take, so there's eight home games this season. Two of them go to the green package. So now that's six, $584 times six games, like $450, carry the five, that's
$3,504.
Thank you very much. You used the calculator. I used my chicken scratch on a piece of paper. Or did you do it longhand too, Matt?
No.
I just like Rain Man it. I just heard the numbers and just escaped to
look
me.
At
we're lucky
you.
Matt didn't screw up the. No, that is the. Yeah, no.
You're my
not
hero.
Close.
That's okay. So my point is. Here's my point, all right? So everyone spends their money, their discretionary income, however they choose. And if you spend $3,500 for four season tickets in the green package, God bless you. Good for you. And you probably save in other areas, right? Some people spend it on going out and drinking. Some of them spend it on shoes, on Poshmark. I know a guy who does that. And bobbleheads. Like, we all have our vices, or we all have our way we want to spend our discretionary income. My question is, if you are always, 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 always talking about how you're owned by the fans, and that is your favorite narrative about your organization, is $3,500 a year plus, is there a seat license fee that's included there? Is that a one-time fee?
I'm sure.
I would love for our season ticket holder fans to tell me. This is why it irritates me that this was released on Friday afternoon, because I would rather have you release it on a Tuesday in the middle of Wildy and Touch, which has happened in the past.
Well,
but I'm curious, are we getting to the point where we are pricing out the true, authentic, green and gold bleeding Packers fan who just has a regular job and wants to be able to go to the games in the season ticket package? Because I'll tell you this, you don't want people wearing opposing colors in the stands. If I still had our family's tickets, that is more than I am willing to pay for four tickets for six games. I'm going to go out and I'm going to say, all right, I'm going to sell two of these games so I can reduce the amount of total cost that this costs me to be a season ticket holder. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all.
Well, and I know that there's people here in Madison who are business owners who could afford to buy tickets. They can't always get to Green Bay, so they buy tickets with the idea they'll sell some. But even now, the prices are getting so high, it's like they don't want to be on the hook in case they can't sell them, because it's getting harder year after year to sell them for face value, because the face value has risen so much. But also, Jason, to your point about being the community team, correct me if I'm wrong, but do the Packers have, like, the Atlanta Falcons are the most famous for having really cheap options for some food and beer.
Yeah,
like,
no.
Maybe you don't. We all love Coors Light. Maybe you don't need the 36-ounce Coors Light. You get a 12-ounce one for a couple bucks. So, and some teams, NFL, Major League Baseball, have done that where they'll give you the food option. So, to your point, Jason, they at least made the difference of, like, you know what we'll do is we'll offer cheaper food for people. So you can get a hot dog and a beer, and you can spend $5-6 on that and get some popcorn for your kids and, like, not spend $300 at concession on top of the $584 take your family to the game.
Yeah, and again,
Jason, if I could interject, Jason, if you're a true Packer fan, you're filling up before you go into the game on all the brats that are grilled out in the parking lot.
Matt, that's not the...
There is so much food.
Yeah, Matt, that's a horrible argument.
What do you mean it's a horrible argument? I'm not saying... I'm like, if you're going to go for the true Packer experience, you ain't buying a stadium dog. You already had three hot dogs out in the parking lot.
What about your kid? Like, Matt, like, the Packers could give a deal on the food. Like,
No, I'm not saying they shouldn't. I'm just saying the real Packer experience isn't buying the food anyway.
Okay. There's plenty of people with kids and stuff like that. The lines are full. So the Packer fans are still experienced spending hundreds of dollars at the concessions.
They should hit me up. I can give them some tips.
All right. But, Jason, on the food side of things.
Yeah, look, I think it's, you guys are on a little bit of a delay, and I didn't want to keep talking over you. I would just say this. I agree with you. There are plenty of ways that you can make things a little bit less expensive. But, again, I'm not – if fans want to say, Wildy, shut the hell up, you don't pay for this stuff anyway, I get it. But I would point out that I am the descendant of people who helped save the franchise in the 1940s by buying tickets in Milwaukee. I held the tickets for a long time, even when I started covering the team. I don't know what my brother does with them. I've never really asked. I don't really care. But then the other thing is I'm just trying to look at it from a regular old Green Bay resident's perspective. And if I didn't have this job... If I did something else in Green Bay, it's a hell of a lot of money. That's all. And I just, the idea of, the PR of saying, look, we've raised our ticket prices every year since 2010, except for the year after we had a pandemic. And you know what? We have not held up our end of the bargain. We haven't been back to another Super Bowl since 2010. So we're going to take this year off. We're not going to raise your ticket prices. We're going to spend. We still believe we have a championship-caliber team. We'll probably raise ticket prices again next year, but it's time. Our GM came out and said that the time to compete for championships, and we want you guys to be there. We don't want you to have to sell your tickets. We want you to make sure that there's no Honolulu blue or Vikings purple or Bears orange in the stands. So we're going to take the year off from raising ticket prices because we want everybody to be all in to kick those teams' asses and go win a Super Bowl because it's been too long for this organization. If I was a fan, I'm not even a fan, and I'm excited about that selling point. So, again, maybe I'm out of line here, but the fact that 15 years running, with the exception of a once in a 100-year event of a public health menace, that you always, every year, raise ticket prices, I that doesn't sit well with me. And if you disagree with me, you're entitled to that. But I have to think there are other Packers fan families that think the way I do.
So to your point and to Matt's point about the Packers, where they're located, and I know that obviously it's a statewide team, but should they have lower ticket prices? The average household income in Green Bay, Wisconsin is $75,000. That is below, this was in 2023, the average household income for the United States at $80,000. So Green Bay is below the United States average as far as household income at $75,000, yet the ticket prices and the food prices inside are expensive. So if you're spending whatever the number was, like 70, you're making 75 for a household, and you got, accounting for food and stuff at the game, $5,000 to $6,000 going out every game, it does eliminate the regular fans, and then people complain about Badger games, people complain about Bucks games, like the crowd's not as loud as it used to be. Well, this is how it happens.
Yeah, you block them out. You block the rowdy ones out.
Except for Matt Hamilton.
So, Jason, I had one football question for you. So you had Rod Domofsky on, and you joined Wildy and Taos earlier today, and I think Packer fans are taking the idea of Rob saying that basically talking to NFL agents, he believes the Packers are going to be active in cornerback, D-line, and wide receiver. But the Packers have been active before, and maybe they didn't get it done. They came in second place, always the bridesmaids, never the bride. So we want to ask the question of, like, look, the Packers can try, but will they actually go to the number that some of these guys might need? So our poll question, our side limited poll question was, are Packer fans, do they expect to be excited or disappointed with this Packers offseason? Because Rob Domofsky, sharing what he shared with you, raised his expectations of what might be happening with this offseason. But I don't know. I don't believe Goody's going to give up precious draft picks or go to extend himself too far for premium free agents if there is a bidding war for some of these players. So what is your take on what Rob said, and do you think the Packers are going to end up raising expectations to then disappoint fans because they have a normal offseason?
Well, first of all, I think you're exactly right. What Rob said today, I don't know if you're a Packers fan, how it doesn't raise your expectations. It absolutely does. It gets your hopes up. And Rob's a really good reporter. He knows a lot of agents. So he's not making that up, right? We believe right. him wholeheartedly. Whether or not it actually comes to fruition, you know, in fairness, Packers under Goody love to be the team that we're always in the conversation, right? We're gonna be aggressive. We're always going to be in the conversation. And there have been some conversations that have led to Xavier McKinney, Josh Jacobs, Za'Darius Smith, et cetera, et cetera. Been a lot of conversations that didn't lead to them getting them. Like, Goody mentioned this at the scouting combine, that he has offered his first-round pick before in a trade. You guys know who that was for, right?
Please share.
Khalil Mack. So in September of 2018, the Packers were one of the teams when Khalil Mack was being shopped, who offered the Raiders a first-round pick and plus other considerations. And, Jimmy, you would know this, the Bears offered two first-round picks, right? Got him. And so Goody was unwilling to make that offer of both, because he had two first-round picks in 19 because of the trade with the Saints. So he does have a limit to how much he's willing to give up. And, you know, I don't know how Bears fans look at the Khalil Mack trade, but not only did they give up two firsts and other considerations, they also then paid him the biggest contract ever for a defensive player. So I don't see the Packers being willing to do that kind of stuff. So that's where the Myles Garrett thing was it was always a non-starter for me. But this DK Metcalf idea, you know, the idea that they're going to give up the 23rd overall pick, I don't believe that for a second. Now, if they're going to give up a third and Romeo Doubs, now you got my attention. Now I'm intrigued. Now, the other part of this equation, again, I don't want to get into a fight at a local Starbucks with anybody, but, like, you got this guy in Seattle who's saying that there's an offer on the table, and you got Matt Schneidman for The Athletic saying there is no offer and there have been no conversations. Well, both can't be true. So which is the truth? So, again, this is a crazy time of year. All I'll say is this, and I know you guys got to go. Yeah. If you as the general manager are going to publicly say that we have to ramp up our urgency and it's time for this team to compete for championships, that doesn't just apply to the players. That doesn't just apply to the coaches. That applies to you as the general manager, too. And so the fact that Rob made the comment he did about them being active in the free agent market would tell me that Goody is going to put his money where his mouth is. And not only is he telling those guys to up their urgency, he's saying that I have to up my urgency too. And if he acts on that and makes a trade for Metcalf or signs a DJ Reed to be a starting corner or whatever it looks like, then I think there's going to be real reason for excitement for winning an offseason, which we have not seen very often. But they won pretty big last offseason, and they're going to try and do it again if Rob is right.
Jason, really appreciate the extra time you gave us. Awesome insight on the ticket prices and Rob Domofsky's reporting there. Thank you.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
All right, that is Jason Wilde. He's Matt Hamilton. I am Jim Rutledge. Primetime Warshine with us as well. We're at Liberty Station. Chrissy Birdsall back at the Everlight Solar Studio. This is Jim, Matt, and Molly presented by Coors Light.